Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, September 19th, 2021. Pastor Paul Talberg. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
Taken from the portion of Mark, chapter 8, and I'm going to read just one part because I am actually going to use the portions from all the different sections of that talk about this, where Jesus says, "How about you? Who do you say I am?" May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. One day there's this little boy. He had made his dad mad. His dad was really angry, very disappointed in the son. Not very happy at all. So what happens? Boy's going, he's in the back seat. Dad's driving home, and he's just still fuming. Don't know what it was that the boy did. Boy probably doesn't remember what he did. And while he's going home, his dad glances down at the fuel gauge and says, "Oh, man, it's almost empty. Got to fill that up." So he goes home, parks in the garage, and goes in. And the little boy stays outside, and he says, what can I do to make Dad happy? You know, there's something that looks like that gas nozzle at Dad always goes to the gas station and fills up with gas. I'll do that for him. I'll fill up the car. And that way, when he turns on the car, he'll see the needle go to full, and he'll be happy. And he'll know that I really love him. So he goes out, and he finds the hose to the house and the water and the little gun. He says, "It looks just like the thing that the dad takes." He knows how to undo the gas tank lid, and he does that. He turns on the water, fills up the gas tank with water, closes it back up again, and he thinks his dad's going to be so happy, so pleased, that when he turns on the gas, turns on the car the next morning, he's going to see the needle rise up to full. Well, if you know how cars work, gasoline cars with gasoline tanks do not do well with water. So when the dad turned on the car, you know what happened already. Sputtered a little bit. Dad was wondering what's going on. And he did not say, "Well done, little boy." We live in a world that is like that little boy. We live in a world that knows we did something wrong. Everybody knows we're on the outs with God. This is not Eve. You know, we just taught the children about creation in school, and this is not Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. This is not walking with God in the evening of the day. This is terrible. We have wars, we have people fighting, we have bullies, we have all sorts of junk. We even have diseases. People get old and they die. We know, everybody knows we've done something wrong. Our conscience screams at us. So what do? Well, you want to make God happy. So very often people are like the little boy. Well, we do what we think is going to work. And you run into people like this all the time. They're doing their level best to make God happy. They're picking and choosing what they're going to do, and they're trying their best, and they're kind of hoping that makes up for what they didn't do before. And it's like filling up a gas tank with water. And they spend their whole life like that. And at the end of their life, they're going to be tragically surprised because God says, "You don't please me that way." How do you please God? By trusting that he is who he says he is. Jesus really is who he says he is, the Savior of the whole world. Now, for 2,000 years, that message has gone out. Salvation is found in no one else. There's no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. You've heard that from here since the day that the worships opened up. You've heard that from the day that they first gathered together for Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School. You heard that. So what's up? How come people don't get it yet? Because the devil doesn't want you to get it. Your own sinful nature wants to do something else other than what God has said. So I'm here to tell you today that Jesus is still asking the question. And we're going to walk with him now, little by little, to find out how he taught his disciples. It is so wonderfully refreshing how he did that. We're told that as he's going to Caesarea Philippi, while he's on the way, going from Galilee to Caesarea Philippi, it's about 2 days, a two-day hike. And while he's going on the way, he says to the guys, hey, guys, check the social media, will you? Tell me who people say I am. Check your Facebook, your Twitter, check your Instagram. Tell me, who do people say I am? They're kind of quiet a little bit, hemming and hawing because, well, and they wait. And then finally, someone says, well, some say you're Elijah. Some say you're John the Baptist. Some other people say, well, you're one of the prophets. They don't want to be pinned down, but it's obvious you're one of the prophets. So as he's walking towards Caesarea Philippi, he asks them this question. So then what happens? He stops at Caesarea Philippi. He turns around and he says, you, who do you say I am? And you can just kind of hear the quiet, like the disciples are a little bit nervous, and they're thinking. Jesus asked questions because he wants his believers to be thinking. Who do you say I am? So can you imagine, go with me back in some of the things that Jesus did back in Galilee. Remember the widow of Nain? Her husband's already gone. She has no other family, and she's taking out her only boy. They're on the way to the graveyard. And Jesus stops the funeral procession and raises her son back to life by just saying, get up. Remember the time when they were in the boat on Lake Galilee? And the storm was pushing those huge waves into the boat, and they can't get the water out quick enough. The boat is sinking. They're thinking they're going to be blown over. There's a terrible storm. And they wake up Jesus and say, how come you're still asleep? We're going to die here. And Jesus stands up in the middle of the night, in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the boat. He stands up, no life jacket. He raises up his hand, and he scolds that storm. Quiet. Put a lid on it. And just like that, everything's calm. There's no wind. There's no rocking of the waves. It's just like glass. How did he do that? Remember the one time when around the Sea of Galilee again, where this guy full of demons, he called himself Legion because there's so many demons inside this one guy. His life was just miserable. And with a word, Jesus commanded the demons to leave and he set the man free. A word. So when the disciples say, who do you say I am? They're thinking. And you can just see Peter, huh? I know who you are. You can see him think. You are the Christ. That word means you're the anointed one. That word means you are the Messiah. You're the one that God promised Adam and Eve in the garden. You're the one that promise was renewed at Noah's day. You're the one that said the same promise to Abraham and Sarah. You are the one. You are the Christ. I know who you are. I want you to get back in time again and stand by Peter's side, because as they're talking, they've made that two-day hike to Caesarea Philippi, right? Caesarea Philippi was a pretty big hustle-bustle place, kind of like Madison or Milwaukee, maybe Washington, D.C. It's a big place, a lot of people there, Greeks, Romans, a lot of gods back in those days. Nowadays, they're just starting to worship the god Gaia again, Mother Earth, but back then, they had just a whole bunch of gods. And at the base of Mount Hermon, which is the highest thing in 500 miles, which they were walking to at Caesarea Philippi, at the base of that mountain, they had built a city in honor of Caesar Augustus. Because everybody liked Caesar Augustus. People had been fighting and hurting each other, and Caesar Augustus came to power and he made it stop. No more fighting, and he forced everybody to stop fighting. He made peace. His nickname was called the Prince of Peace. So they built this city, Caesarea Philippi, Caesar's Philippi, and at that city, they also built a temple at the base of that mountain. So the Augustus Temple was built at the base of the mountain, and behind the Augustus Temple is a spring of fresh water that would come up, pool it up. And everybody was told that the god Pan was in charge of that spring. So if you want to find out, should I get married to so-and-so, you would take a sacrifice, you go to this temple of Augustus, and you toss this sacrifice into the water of the pool, and if it would sink, the answer was no. If it would stay floating, the answer was yes. So people would go to here to find out, what does the god say? What's it going to reveal to me today? Should I take my job? Am I going to get a raise? Is my business going to be a success? Am I going to get along with my neighbors? What about my mom and dad? What about my kids? All that stuff, they would come and find some kind of revelation from this pool of this false god Pan. That's the place where Peter makes this really neat confession. He says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Caesar Augustus, you see, that the temple was built for, the people thought of him as a god. He was the adopted son of Julius Caesar. Everybody knows Julius Caesar, and Julius Caesar is dead. So, but they worshiped him as a god too. So they have a dead god, an adopted son of a dead god, and he's dead. And this temple is built to him. And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You can't make a better contrast than what Peter does right there. He lets everybody know, I know who you are. Everybody's worshiping this false idea that there's a false god of Pan and that people can become gods when they die, and I know the truth. You have shown me the truth. That's so wonderful. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're the one who's going to take away all sins. That's so wonderful. You're the one going to make a way to me to get back home to heaven. And then Jesus says, you're blessed, Peter, because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. These sacrifices are being tossed into this pool. You didn't get your answer that way. My Heavenly Father revealed it to you. Wow. So all the disciples and Peter are finding out that he really is who he says he is. That's great good news. Now Jesus goes the next step. He's going to say, you need to know something about how this is all going to take place. I'm going on my way to Jerusalem, the capital city. There I'm going to be spit on, betrayed, beat up. They're going to yank out my beard, just like they said in Isaiah. I'm going to be crucified, and I'm going to die. And then I'm going to come back to life again on the third day. They were stuck on the dead part. You can't die. So I'm not making this up. Peter, who just got through saying, you're God in the flesh, this same Peter goes up to God and says, you got it all wrong, God. You can't do that. You can't die. And Jesus says, you don't have in mind the things of God. Get behind me, Satan. I'm gonna stay right on track here. I'm gonna take care of your sin and the sin of everybody in this room. See, Peter was so strong, and then he failed. That did not stop God from loving him. We're so strong sometimes, and then we fail. That doesn't stop God from loving us. God is in the forgiving business. And yes, it did take a lot. It did take his suffering. It did take his death. But then he did gloriously come back to life again, and that makes all the difference in the world. Flesh and blood didn't reveal it to you. And then he looks at Peter and remember what he said before? He said, yeah, I'm going to build my rock not on you, Peter, but on what came out of your mouth, that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, and I will rescue you from all of your sin so you can be at peace. I love you, and I will take care of you to the day I escort you into heaven. What a great God we serve. There are people who don't know that. You and I are still alive because God has part of his plan for us to tell those people that Jesus is who he says he is. Now, either he's crazy guy, or he's lying through his teeth, or he is who he says he is, the living God. If he's the living God, which he is, that makes all the difference in the world. I can be at peace. When things come my way, I can ask God, what's going on here? And he will take care of me and answer me according to his will. It's a wonderful, wonderful blessing we have. In Jesus' name, let's not only share that ourselves this week and remind ourselves and our own family, but share it with somebody else. In Jesus' name, so let us live. Amen.